And the Bible reading today is from Hebrews. And Maureen, thank you so much. Maureen's given me Auntie Nellie's big print Bible, which is great for me. But she forgot to tell me I needed weight training before I could use it. It's huge. It's great. So if you might want to find Hebrews in your own Bible or in the Bible under the chairs. It's going to be up there. And I'm not sure I even need my glasses. Oh, perhaps I do, but brilliant. Thank you, Maureen. Bless you for that. So verse 19 down to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I'm going to pray for Chris before he comes up. Lord, thank you that Chris comes week after week and brings your word to us, Lord. And I just thank you for him. Thank you for the work that he puts in. Thank you for the dedication to listening to you to know what he has to say to us. And so we just pray for him now, Lord, as he comes to speak. Amen.
Thanks, Shona. It's great to see you all. Happy New Year to anyone on that side. Happy New Year to already. And those, of course, that are watching online, Happy New Year to you, whenever you're watching it in the year. What a great passage to have at the beginning of a year to encourage us in our gathering together. If we're going to be fruitful where God has scattered us on our front lines, that would happen eventually. Going to be fruitful where God scattered us, then we need to be faithful in gathering together. Do you know, I find God much easier to love than you. I mean, you're lovely, but God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. What's not to love? He's compassionate and gracious and long-suffering. He's merciful. He lavishes his love upon us. What's not to love in God? People sometimes say to me, I feel closer to God in the garden than I do at church. That's because you're deceived. It's much easier to deceive ourselves that we love God when we're not with other people. John wrote to his church, who he told again and again that he loved them. And he urged them to love one another. And he said, if we say that we love God, who we don't see, and hate our brother, who we do see, we are deceiving ourselves. When we've got the worship music going in the background, and we've got the Bible open, we sense the presence of God with us, it's easy to think that we love God. When we're with each other and somebody hurts us or ignores us or doesn't respond in the way that we want them to or sings too loudly or too quietly or they sing the wrong songs or whatever, it's hard to love one another. But John tells us we know we love God because we love each other. And if we don't love each other, then that warm, woolly feeling that we had is a deception. So we come together so that we may encourage one another in our walk with God. The red dots scattered amongst the grey have to stay red. If they're going to have any impact on the world around them, they have to be different to the world that they're sent into so that they can begin to influence the society around them. So our scattered lives are deeply connected with our gathered life. It's as we gather together that we encourage and strengthen each other in the faith. And we're real in that faith. The Bible has so much to say about our relationships with one another. So many passages that we could look at. But the one we heard from was Hebrews chapter 10. And that starts not with us, but with God. That's good, isn't it? Because it starts with the reality of who God is and the challenge that in the light of who God is, who should we be with one another? So our lives are lived in response to what God has first done for us through Christ. We gather to encourage one another, to remind one another what the full story of the gospel is, and then to equip one another for our everyday lives. As we gather, we should also be giving testimony as to what God has done during the week that we've been apart. In the case of some, for the last couple of weeks, we know we need to tell one another what God has been doing. How have we experienced God? In our life group, we set a challenge at the end of each study. And the next week we say, how did you get on the challenge? Or if you completely forgot that, which we often do, how have you experienced God in the last week? And quite often we sit there and go, oh, wow, I don't know really. But often as people reflect, they sort of go, well, actually, that was an experience of God. We need to do that with one another. Maybe as you go out this morning, ask one another, have you experienced God over Christmas? In what ways have you known God with you? So how we can help one another. And wherever we are in the world, wherever God has placed us, whether that's in the care home or it's in the shop or it's in a business, wherever you are, God has that calling on your life. Whatever you do, whoever you are, together we can build one another up. And we all need each other. There are three things that we can help one another to do. To hold on to hope, to spur one another on, and to keep meeting. To encourage one another to keep meeting. I guess to keep meeting so you can hold on to hope and spur one another on. So let's go through those in turn. First, holding on to hope. As a church family, we need to help one another to persevere. You know, we all go up and down in our lives, don't we? You know, even those of us that are perhaps the more steady sort, we still have times when we're down and when we're up. And we need one another in those times to just say, stick with it. Come on, let's hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, which is bigger than all the situations that you're in your lives that might threaten you from within or from without. Hold on to that hope. There's many things that are going to tempt us away from following Jesus, or at least to grow cold in our faith. The writer to the Hebrews gives us three ways to encourage one another. He urges us to draw close to God. I always find it encouraging when we draw close to God. I remember once Lynn and I, at a time in our lives, we were trying to hear what God was saying about what the next step was. And we set aside time to hear what we thought would be that guidance from God on what our next step was. And out of that day, the profound revelation that we had was God saying to us, you are my children and I love you. We drew close to God. It didn't matter what we did next. It didn't matter where the next step was. But we had that closeness with God that meant we were able to hold on. Hold on to the hope that he would lead us through the next step. In the Old Testament, it was only the priests that were allowed to draw near to God. But now we're all invited. Every one of us is invited to draw near to God, because Jesus opened that way for us to do so. There's the assurance of faith. The writer of the Hebrews talks about the complete assurance of faith. So as we focus on Jesus, we discover who we are as a result of what he's done for us. He reveals just how precious we are to God and then calls us to respond with faith to him. And thirdly, as we gather together, in the midst of difficulties, we can experience peace. I don't know perhaps what things are rattling around in your hearts and minds this morning. Difficult situations that you've come out of, even into this place today. You know, in some ways we want to leave all of that outside, but sometimes we need to bring all of that in here and just lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, you are with me. Know his peace. So we come with things that weigh heavy on our hearts and we discover that we have been sprinkled through his blood, that we've been cleansed, as we've been learning through Thessalonians, by the washing of his word. As we hear his word again, our minds are just brought back to that right cleanliness before God, and we see things as they should be seen. So to go back to my first three, we come together to spur one another on. This is a picture of a spur. Who'd be a horse? It looks quite vicious, doesn't it? The word is a really strong word. The idea is inciting. So we're exciting one another. Not exciting, inciting. And provoking. Provoking one another to love and good works. Wow. That's quite a thought of what we should be doing as we come together. It's a strange word to link with love and good works, but that's what the writer does. He links this very strong, active poking with a sharp, pointy stick to that we should encourage one another to do love and good works. Its strength suggests the importance of helping one another to live out our faith on the front line. I mean, I've written here, we can grow weary in doing good. Who hasn't grown weary in doing good? You know, you try and perhaps it backfires. I have one of my rather cynical sayings is, no good turn goes unpunished. That is not in the Bible. But it is often our experience. You set out to do something to help someone and it backfires. Or it doesn't go the way that you hoped. You put, you know, a lot of work into an outreach work and you don't see the fruit that you wanted to see. It's easy to grow weary. We need one another to say, keep at it. Keep doing it. Why did you do it? Did you do it for praise? Did you do it for thanks? Or did you do it in order that Jesus would be glorified? Out of obedience to him. We need to provoke one another into good works. So people can often be ungrateful or even manipulative of us. Even our best efforts can seem to lead to no lasting change. It's easy to give up and become self-centered. The writer to the Hebrews recognizes that we can help one another but by not allowing each other to give up, but to just keep on and to keep that challenge before us, to keep going. So what would that look like in our church life together? If we became more a people who were provoking one another week by week to keep on with those acts of love and good work. How do we already help one another to be attentive to God's purposes for each of us, wherever God has placed us? Perhaps, again, those conversations after the service. I know it's really difficult when we don't have refreshments, but it's not raining today. There is an opportunity just to see where people are and encourage them where they're at on their front line. How could we help one another more? I know the now world famous UPIM, developed by Ant, which is you send a text to just say, you popped into my mind. And you know, just that way to as you through the week and you think of somebody and you're praying for them, perhaps just let them know that you're praying for them. Just send them a text, send them a message, praying for you today. So we just hold one another up. And what do we learn together that might help us when we're apart? if we detach this part of our week from all the rest and just think, well, that was a lovely service, now let's get back to this horrible week that I've got, then we're missing out on why God gave us those words. They're meant to inspire us and encourage us, cleanse us from the past week, but encourage us and strengthen us for the week to come. So we meet to encourage one another to keep meeting. Sometimes with that emphasis on our front lines, it might suggest that our life together isn't important. In fact, this is the place where we remind one another of the core elements of our faith, and then this is the community that helps us to remain faithful in our calling. This is the community that will affirm the significance of where we are from Monday to Saturday, and to say that those days matter to God too. And we bring that back in our thanks and worship to God. So when we're unable to meet together in person, the wonders of modern technology, he says through gritted teeth, can maintain community online to an extent. One advantage is that it brings or brought church into our homes, onto our television screens, onto our computer screens, in our personal private space. It helps us to see that our faith must come into every part of our lives. Yet in the end, church online has its limitations. There are dangers in the freedom to pick and choose. To pick and choose what we'll spend time on and what we'll fast forward through. That indulges our individualism, our consumerism, at the expense of learning to bear with one another in love through the things that we don't enjoy are not for us but are for someone else. And we are here to learn to love one another as Christ has loved us. Some things work well online, but others do not. It's hard to pick up how people really are through a screen. Sometimes that screen and the sound quality that go with it are barriers to communication, and that can make it really difficult for those that are struggling. There are also many who stopped attending any church, even online. Perhaps the church that they used to attend has sinned against them. Perhaps they've been hurt or offended. Whatever the cause, it's not God's plan for us to walk this Christian journey alone. So if you're listening online, you're not connected to a church right now, I'm sorry, but it's not God's plan for you to walk this journey alone. We're here for you. There are others that would walk with you in this journey. Whatever the cause, we each need each other. And watching Songs of Praise or listening to Hillsong's YouTubes is no substitute for walking together in love. When I did one of my dissertations that I had to do during my training, I did it on online church. This is 20 years ago. And what I said to the people that were doing online church then, God bless them for pioneering it, what I said was, how do you hug somebody online? How do you weep with somebody online? How do you sit with somebody online? And those things express love in practical ways. So it's hard to do those things, and it's hard if we try and walk the Christian road on our own. It's hard to gather together. It's not easy, is it? So thank you for coming. Thank you for being here, particularly having to do it with masks on. I appreciate that it's not easy. The gathered worship life of the church is where we teach, guide, challenge, equip, encourage, love, and commission one another for our frontline lives. So they provided for us from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity a set of commitments, which I read through and I thought these are just right for us at the beginning of a year. So we think ahead to the year coming. So hopefully if I got the right things in the right places. I apologise it's a little small, that's just the size that it was. Can you read that okay? Most of you are nodding, so as far as I can see. It starts off with the longest bits being mine, but later on there's a part for us to read together as well. Would you like to stand with me if you're able? As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places? And will you give yourself unreservedly to his purposes in you and through you, wherever you are? With the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the small things that you do day by day, and seek to make all that you do on your front line a part of your worship of him? Will you learn to rely on him, his power, his love, and his grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. As sons and daughters of your heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance, your life on the front line flow first from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. As the body of Christ, will you commit to encourage and helping one another flourish in Christ and be fruitful on your front line? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will. And together we say, we affirm your call to follow Christ in all of life, including life on our front line. We commission you to this life and work, and pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I commission each person here and each person that has heard this message online to go out into the world and to make disciples, knowing that you are with us each and every day until you return. Amen.